mine. Soon as I get home, we have something to look forward to. Amen. Amen. Thank this choir for leading us in our songs of praise today. We thank you for being here. It wouldn't be the same if you didn't show up. We thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. You can't appreciate that until you've gone through some stuff. You can't appreciate it when you're in the middle of it. It's too painful. But when he brings you through something, you can appreciate that a little bit, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because God is always there. Amen. Amen. Thankful for you all today. I'm going to speak on the obvious. Our numbers have dwindled down. But my mother once told me, you don't worry about who don't show up. You be thankful for those that are there. So you just look to the person next to you. You may have to look away, but you just let them know, I'm thankful that you're here. You let them know, I'm thankful that you're here. They didn't have to be here. You let them know, I'm thankful that you're here. Amen. Amen. Do you all know that we in a race? We in a race. Ecclesiastes says, the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but we in a race. Matthew says, but to the one who endures to the end. Just hold on. The race isn't given to the fastest. It's the one that can hold on. Just hold on. Some of you need to hold on because you're going through something and it's making you want to give up. Just hold on. It's not given to the fastest. It's the one that can hold on. The Lord is not far. He's there. Just hold on. And he'll manifest himself and show up in your life. I want to share with you today out of a very well-known passage. John 3:16. One of the first scriptures I ever learned. John 3:16. And it reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. One version says, life eternal, shall have life eternal. In one sense, everlasting means that's something beyond death, but life eternal means you can have it right now. You ain't gotta wait. It's the abundant life, whosoever. I wanna preach around the text today, around the thought today. I love him because he first loved me. Love him because he first loved me, which means it wasn't your idea. It's a response to what God has already done. Past week, I had the honor of presiding over two weddings. It's an exciting time in the lives of two couples coming together under holy matrimony in the sight of God and in front of family and friends and other witnesses that came. But how many of you remember what it was like when you was in love for the first time? Matthew, you may have to think about it. Might have been a long time. You might have been jaded and you can't remember what that feeling is like. But can you remember what it was like when you was in love for the first time? How that newness felt, especially in the very beginning. If you think too hard, I could catch you kind of filtering off, chuckling and smiling.
That way you looked at each other, the way you felt when you were together, how happy you were when the phone rung and you knew it was your boo on the other line. Do you remember what it was like to be in love for the first time? Those times when she came over to watch a movie, and though the TV was on, but you never got to watch the movie. Do you remember what it was like to be in love for the first time? You remember how good it felt in the beginning of love, don't you? Well, love is much more than just a feeling. Because when you're in a committed relationship, you may not always have that deep emotional euphoria connected to what you identify as love. Amen, somebody. They may not always be your favorite person. In fact, they just may get on your nerves sometimes. That's why love is more than an emotion. It's more than a feeling. In fact, marriage based on emotion is really some contemporary idea. I remember my mother telling me that love is an emotion, doesn't put food on the table or clothes on your back. I remember Tina Turner singing a song that says, what's love got to do with it? What's love than a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Emotions can only get you so far because your emotion can change at a drop of a hat. I know I'm right about it. One minute you like this, and the next minute you don't like it at all. One minute it makes you laugh, and the next minute it makes you mad. Your emotions can change at a drop of a hat. Most of us can relate to love in the context of this kind of relationship. But our text isn't about love like that, but it's about God's love for us. God's love for us goes beyond all understanding. It transcends both time, history, and space. It's a force that can compel all darkness. In fact, Martin Luther King called that kind of love in the face of white supremacy and racism, he called it a soul force. That's the power of love that has the ability to overcome the violence of militarism and thwart the power of evil and darkness. He describes love as being more of a force or power rather than some sentimental feeling. And in human terms, that's what God's love, agape love, was able to achieve through love of God in Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that God so loved the world. The creator of the universe loved the world in a way that only God could love. Senior Saint, in conflict with the next door neighbor, tried to justify his behavior and exclaimed, I love everybody. But the neighbor next door responded in a sarcastic tone and said, I would believe you, but you don't even remember my name. How can you love somebody and you don't even know their name? How can you love somebody that you never even met before? Well, I'm here to tell you, you may confess, as the man in the story did, that you love everybody. But if you can't love the very ones in your own home, if you can't love that nosy neighbor down the street, if you can't love that problem co-worker that's always getting on your nerves, then how in the world can you claim to love everybody? Number one, you don't even know everybody. And number two, you have a hard enough time loving those that you do know. Am I right about it? Confession may be bad for your reputation, but it'll clean up your soul. The text says, for God so loved the world. You see, you may not know everybody, but God does, and God loves us all. God loves the kamos, which in the Greek, it means just the ordered systems. You see, sin affected all things, including how things functioned all together. It not only infected and affected individuals, but it perverted all ordered things working together. Sin didn't just get into Adam and Eve, but it got into everything. It got into the cosmos. It got into every system of operation. Then it had to take a greater force to counteract the sin of the world. It had to take the soul force of God to defeat all the schemes of the devil. I remember being in seminary and talking with the spiritual director that would aid you in identifying where God was working in your life. And I remember being upset about something or someone and carry on with my spiritual director about how upset I was about whatever was on my mind until she asked me a question. She asked me, how do you think God feels about all of that? And I had never thought about God having feelings like me until she asked me that question. But when I thought about it, I said, I guess God is sad. I guess God is frustrated. Maybe God is feeling angry. I thought about God crying because I was hurt or disappointed because I messed up. I thought about how God must feel proud when we get it right, when we forgive each other. And though I read it 1,000 times from the time I was a child that God so loved the world, I never fully thought about God as having feelings. God's feelings are more than just emotionalism, but it describes the motive of God and the power by which God is able to accomplish God's will. But it was more than just a feeling, for it's a verb that signifies action, and a verb that is so strong that it would do anything for the object it's focused on. God's love was one that gave sacrificially. It's one that thought about the needs of others. It's one that didn't hold back but gives the very best that it had. And thank God that God did what we couldn't do, but it came at a cost. For God's love is so great for us that he gave his one and only son. It wasn't out of obligation. It wasn't because God wanted something in return. It wasn't because God was coerced or manipulated into ransoming off a payment for debt. But on the contrary, it was all God's idea. Paul said, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Only God could save the whole world, and he did it by giving his one and only son. Not only did he give the best that he had, but he gave all that he had. Somebody said, that's love. Not just giving your best, people will give you their best. Their best effort, their best item. But everyone won't give you their one and only. You know how it is when it comes to your one and only. We emphasize it by talking about our last, your last French fry, your last piece of candy, your last dollar, that last bite of dessert. You know how it is when you give somebody your very last. Nobody really wants to give up their last. Their last is precious. Their last is special. Not only did God give up his last, but he gave up his one and only son. That's a testament of God's love for us. You remember how Jesus was watching as people were giving their offering at the church, and a woman caught his eye who didn't give as much as everybody else. But what caught Jesus' eyes was what she gave was all that she had. Jesus pointed out her to the other disciples and said she gave more than anybody that day because she gave her one and only and she gave her very last. But that's the depths of God's love for us, that he gave his one and only son. His love for us outweighed his sorrow, because when the scripture says gave, it's in reference to the birth, the life, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God gave us Jesus as a model for how to live this life. How to live in this world and deal with the disappointments in life and rejoice through the good times. How to put God first and praise him out of season. Jesus' life is a gift to the world, so that even the angels came down when he was born and sung, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those who he's well pleased. But then his death was God giving us his love too. For Jesus paid a debt that we couldn't pay. He paid a debt that we owed, but he didn't owe. Jesus' death did something that we couldn't do. Jesus' death is the very thing that gave us life. Because Jesus died, that means you ain't gotta die. You can live for him. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. You ain't got to do what the Lord has done. All you got to do is live for Jesus because he died for you. You ain't got to sacrifice your life for another person's life, for you only have enough grace to get yourself in. You just live for the Lord. And the Bible says that your worship is to live in a sacrificial manner. That means you don't get to do everything that you want to do. You freed up now to do what you ought to do. And doing what you should is hard enough. For Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always present. In fact, the very evil that I don't want to do is the very evil that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, that's sin, that's bondage. But God freed you up. So you ain't got to do what you don't want to do. You can do what the Lord wants you to do. He paid a debt that we couldn't pay. But then his resurrection was a symbol of God's love for us, because Jesus got up again. You just miss your shouting point. Jesus rose up again. He was without fault, but he got killed, and Jesus and God vindicated him and rose him up again. Oh, that's your shouting point right there. That should make you happy right there, because if you in Jesus, you ain't got to stay down. Neither the Lord will raise you up. You ain't got to stay down. You ain't got to be beat down. You ain't got to stay let down, because if Jesus is in control, he'll cover up all of your issues. For the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Am I the only one that knows that text today? If you messed up, let the Lord cover you up. If you messed up, let the Lord fix you up. If you fell down, let the Lord pick you back up again. Because he died and got up, you ain't got to stay down. The Lord will lift you up too. You can't be held down, can't be held back. For nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. But the part I really like about this text is this next part. Because the first part talked about how God loved everybody. How God loved the world. How God loves all of us. But this last part gets personal and specific, because then it says, whosoever will. That ain't all, y'all. That just got to do with me. Whosoever will. He got a blessing with my name on it. Whosoever will. God is not a God of equality. He's a God of equity. Because if you need some shoes, he'll give you some shoes. But if you need some socks, he'll cover you with some socks. He got a blessing with my name on it. It's the whosoever will. And God is not a respecter of person. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what you've done. God loves you so much that he says, come on down. I got a blessing with your name on it. I can fix you if you trust me. I can help you if you turn it over to me. Everybody may hate you, but I love you anyway. That's called soul force. It ain't something that you talk about. It's something that you do. You can't just talk about love. You got to be able to show it. It's the love of God. But there's some things only God can do.
whatever you're dealing with, turn it over to the Lord. For whatever your boundaries are, God has no bounds. Whatever your questions are, God has all the answers. Whatever your problem is, the Lord can fix it. We don't serve God because of what he can do. We serve him for what he's already done. Because I love him, because he first loved me. That's what he already did. That's not what he's gonna do. That's what he's already did. And if he already showed that he loved me, I can trust him because he can take care of me now. The doors of the church are open today. Who do you love? You may love the world. You may put all your eggs in one basket and love a person. But the world will let you down and people will leave you high and dry. Have you tried the one that loves you best and the one that loves you first? Have you tried Jesus in your life? For the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is the best love in the world. It's an unconditional kind of love. It's a love that you ain't got to be faking phony with. It's a love that God loves you as you are. He knows who you are better than you know yourself, but he loves you so much, he won't leave you in the same situation. He'll make you better by and by. Will you receive this Jesus in your life? Let us stand today as we led in a musical selection. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. The question is, how will you respond? He's calling you today. This is your invitation. Is there another? There's room. Time. The Lord is still calling. There is still time.